Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of Ezra, chapter 6. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ezra, chapter 6. It's Ezra, chapter 6. Ezra, chapter 6, we'll be beginning in verse 13. Give me an amen once you are there. And so, Father, again, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise. For you are the God who loves us, the true living God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Father, we ask that you would just bless our time as we study your word. Lord, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see what your spirit is wanting to say to each and every one of us today, Lord. I pray that you would give us humble hearts, for you teach the humble your way. And Lord, I pray, pour out your grace. May it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, amen. Amen. So we're back in this book. It's been a while with Prayer Night and Passion Week. But in our story, the building of the temple has resumed under the preaching of the prophet Haggai and Zechariah. Now, the beautiful story of this book is that God's people, after 70 years in captivity, he has freed them by his grace and mercy for them. He told them that they would spend 70 years in captivity because they had sinned against the Lord. They turned against him. But now they're free, and the Persians conquered the Babylonians, and King Cyrus, the Lord spoke to his heart, turned his heart to allow the children of Israel to return home and rebuild the temple of the Lord that had been destroyed in Jerusalem. It's a miracle of miracles. It really is for the Lord to move the heart of this heathen king. And he said, you know, rebuild, but also, you know, resources you need will finance it. And he also made sure that the articles that were stolen by the Babylonians were restored back to them. And so it's just a beautiful thing. You know the story. They're back in the land. The first group of exiles are back in the land, and they have begun to worship the Lord. They laid the foundation. They built the altar. But opposition came against them, because that's what the devil does whenever God's trying to build or rebuild a broken life or a broken people. There's opposition spiritually. And you guys are wise enough to discern that you're going to go through some warfare, some opposition and persecution. And so they built nonetheless, and then a letter went out by the Persian leaders there to have the work stopped, and it did cease. The children of Israel, they got the order from the king to stop until a different order would be given, and so they stopped, and they stopped for 15 years. Because of the order of the king. Now, we mentioned it before. We had our own orders from our government to not come to church. And so, you know, if there's a do-over, then remember some of the failures from the first time. And that's, it's better to honor God than to honor man. Amen? Amen. To come to his church and to come together. And so, after 15 years, the prophet Haggai said to them, prophesied to them, is it time for you to chill in your paneled houses? Today it might read, you know, paneled TV screen or whatever, but in your paneled houses while the Lord's house is in ruins. And so he prophesied to them, and they got going and they began to build. And so in our story, the governor, his name is Tatanai, saw them rebuilding again, and sent a letter to King Darius explaining to him that they're building again, and for King Darius to Search the book, search the archives, because they say King Cyrus has okayed this back in the day. And so King Darius, by the grace and the movement of God upon his heart, he had the book searched and found the edict of Cyrus. And I'm so tired, I'm wondering if I've been saying Cyprus the whole time. I've been saying Cyrus. All right. You know what I mean. It's been a long couple days. But Cyrus, Darius gets the edict and says, all right. And he just tells the Persian, his subordinates, leave them alone to rebuild the temple of the Lord. In fact, I want all the taxes from beyond the river, which is the Euphrates River, down into Israel. I want all the taxes from that region to go to the temple. In fact, I also want I want cattle and animals for the offerings of the temple to be given to the priests day by day as they need it. And so the Lord really pulled through. And again, the best thing that we can do as Christians is put our faith in our Lord. And if God has gone through so much trouble to save us, no one can stop the rebuilding and the building of your life and mine. No one. Not a king, not a president, not a governor, no one. Not a boss, nobody. The work that God has for you and I, no one can stop it, because it's the work of God. All we have to do is honor the Lord and walk with him. And there are times when it seems like, oh my goodness, opposition is rising up. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able to go to church, or I'm not going to be able to do this or that, or I'm not going to be able to survive, or I'm not going to be able to provide for myself, or I'm not going to be able to live my life in peace. Don't be surprised. You have a big God that loves you. Amen? And so he not only said that he would provide, this king said, but in verse 11, it says, also I issue a decree that whoever alters this edict, let a timber be pulled from his house and erected, and let him be hanged on it. And let his house be made a refuse heap because of this. And may the God of who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it, or to destroy this house of God, which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, issue a decree, let it be done diligently. Oh, the divine protection of our Lord. The divine protection of our Lord. Have you experienced the divine protection of the Lord on your life? Preaching this book can be dangerous, you know. Standing for the truth, my brothers and sisters, can be dangerous. But it is good to read the book that reaffirms that God defends us, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And many weapons will arise, but many more blessings arise that overflood those weapons. We get to see God defend. We get to see God protect. We get to see him miraculously foil the plots of the enemy. God is awesome in defending you and I. Lord, help us to not defend ourselves too much and just sit back and see the salvation of the Lord. If you are walking with the Lord, no matter the odds against you or the persecution that rises against you, if you walk with the Lord, he will come to your defense. You will prosper in the thing he has set out for you to do. And so verse 13, then Tattenai, governor of the region beyond the river Shethar-Boznai, and their companions diligently did according to what King Darius had sent. So the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And so I just love these words in these verses, particularly that they built and that they prospered through the prophesying of the prophets, and then that they finished it. And so they began to build, and it says that as they received the prophecies, the word of God, if you will, from the prophets, they were able to build, they were able to prosper, they were able to finish, right? Build, prosper, finish. Build, prosper, finish. Man, we are his workmanship. God is building you and I up, is he not? And what is it that builds us but his word? Peter said, desire the milk of the word by which you may grow. It is by the word of God prophesied to us through this book, through his teachers. The more of this word that we are given to, the better we grow, the more we prosper, the harder we work because of the word of God in our lives. Oh God, may you give us an appetite and a hunger for your word more than any food, more than any possession, more than anything that our flesh may desire. May we desire your word more than anything. May we believe that if we listen, if we read and understand that faith comes by hearing and that by the word of God, that more of the word of God we receive and intake and do, we will build. And we are as much as responsible for building our lives, I believe, or responsible as well, I should say, as the Lord himself who builds our lives. The rate in which God will build my life and your life depends on the rate of our willingness to study and to pray and to be given to his word. If we're given to his word on a daily basis with sincerity, Lord, just give me wisdom and understanding. You know, and it doesn't have to be quantity, but quality. Oh my goodness, we begin to be strong and build our house on the rock, which is Jesus, and are not easily moved by the tactics of the devil who would want us to fear, or the fear of man that so easily ensnares us. But we respect and we revere the one who, after he kills the body, can also kill the soul. It's the word by which we grow. Parents, give your children the word. I always think, oh, I'm lagging. I need to give Tobias some reading. I haven't read with my boy. I need to read with my seven-year-old, or Olive. I need to read and pray with my sweetheart, you know, and 10 years old. They need the word. If I need it to be built up, they need it to build up. The word of God. And by it, we get to work and we build, because Jesus saved us so that we can participate in the building of not just of ourselves, but of the body of Christ, that we would speak those things to each other that are edifying. You can't edify your brother and sister at home if you never come to church. God saved us to not just love him, but to love the people of his bride, of his church, of his body. And so the word of God, it's so important, especially today, because that's, the word of God has been attacked since Genesis. Did God truly say, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Right? It's the questioning of the word of God. And in the last days, men will not endure sound doctrine, but will be given over to fables and heap up teachers because of their itchy ears or whatever. You know, I'm chopping it up, but you know what I mean. But we'll turn to 2 Timothy. So I can see if you have your Bibles with you, since you're rightly holding me accountable. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. Verse 1. But in the last days, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep in to households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Good stuff. Amen to those words from the Apostle Paul. That's the problem with the church today. That's a problem with a lot of Christians, is they're not given to the word of God. It says here, always learning, but never coming to an understanding. And there's a lot who hear and hear the word and can quote the word and know the word. And it comes to applying it to their lives or to situations. There's no truth in how they apply it. Always hearing, but never learning, but never, you know, coming to a place of understanding. So many hearers. We want to be doers of the word. That's where we grow, where we're doers of the word. That's where, you know, there's perseverance in the work of the Lord. And I give God and his word all the glory for us being here after so many years. You know, I've been walking with him for 25 years and in the ministry for about 24 of those years. So why am I still here? Grace of God and the word of God. It is the word of God. Is the Calvary Chapel style the word of God? And through the years, who have been the consistent ones? Who have been the ones who persevere? Who have been the ones who forgive more? Who are the ones who are more like family? Hang in there. It's those who are given to the word of God because they understand the Lord more than those who just learn but never grow to understand, who are always hear, but they're not truly listening. Does that make sense? That's why the word of God says, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. Well, the Lord says he desires that men pray everywhere and not lose heart. You know, anxiety in the heart causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. It's the word of God that makes our heart glad. It's the word of God that continues to inspire the work. Right? How do you keep going? I get inspired. That's how. How do you get inspired? You know it. It's very simple. It's his word. Jesus inspires us. He's the word made flesh. And we need more of his word. Hebrews 1 tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. The word of his power. He holds our life together by the you know, direct link to how much of the word of God we have in ourselves. That helps us to persevere. You got, oh, the weather's not nice. So what? persevere. Oh, it's dark and cold, oh, persevere. Oh, a little sick, persevere. Who are the ones not persevering? They're the ones that are always learning but not coming to the place of understanding. If you've learned something, then you should have learned to persevere and not quit. You should have learned through the scriptures that it was going to be hard. You ever read more of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church and how terribly rough it is to be a Christian? And why do so many quit? Because they're always learning and not coming to the place of understanding. It's hard, good. It's supposed to be hard. Our faith cannot even grow without hardness. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. The blessings cannot compare to the goodness of our God. God is good to us. And the word is how we get inspired. It says that the Jews built and they prospered as the prophets prophesied to them. Jesus didn't say those are blessed who the prophets prophesied to, but those who hear the word of God and do them, do it. Those are my mother and my brothers. Those are the blessed ones. Those are the ones that grow. Those are the ones that persevere. Those are the ones that are still here after so many. And if you read what I just read in Timothy, you see a lot of the attitudes in a lot of people that are, you know, who are, you know, call themselves Christians and carnal at best. You can see a lot of those attributes in them. If you dig deep into their lives and where are you in the Bible? Oh, well, you know. Yeah, that's a problem. This life has unexpected turns that can crush a man, can crush our spirit. And a lot of you have faced them in your life. Absolute trials that are crushing. Garden of Gethsemane style, crushing like a wine press or an olive press. You've been crushed. You've been broken. How are we still here? The Spirit of God working through His Word that gives us hope, that raises us from these incredibly dead situations. And we look around and see these beautiful flowers starting to bloom, and we love it. It's fantastic. You will rise again, and so will I, especially if we are given to the Word of God. It is what we do. It is who we are. We are a Bible, Word-loving people. Amen? Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Shall prosper. And so the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it. How do you finish it? You know, Paul would say, you know, I've run the race. I've run the race. I was up late, guys, late the other night, just catching up. But anyways, if we want to finish well, it's through the Word. It'll sustain you, right? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, Paul said, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what I meant.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.